In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. On this seventh Sunday in the season of Pascha, the church is poised between two great feasts, the feast of the ascent and the feast of the descent. The ascent is our Lord Jesus Christ going into heaven as we celebrate on Thursday. And the descent is that of the gift, the second great gift, the second paraclete, the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, which the church will celebrate next Sunday. In his ascension, our Lord Jesus the Christ, the Savior, who never left the side of his Father, took to heaven a human nature, in fact. What's the significance of that event? But that human nature can now participate in the divine nature. We call it theosis or divinization. So the human person can now become godly. At Pentecost, the Lord sends down, God the Father sends forth his divine spirit, fulfilling those words that the prophet Habakkuk preached. Quote, "The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." End of quote. What an image. And we'll examine that more next week and the meaning of those words. Those people, those first disciples who were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were commanded by our Lord God, Savior Jesus Christ, to bring into the world eternal life. And all who would accept this word of eternal life were brought into God's family, God's household. It's called the church. The church is God's household. That's what it is. Now, between these two momentous events, the church commemorates on this particular Sunday, Sunday of the Fathers, of the first ecumenical council in Nicaea. So you often hear it as the Council of Nicaea I, or the first Council of Nicaea, because there was a second one, it was the final one, and which was the seventh council. There were seven ecumenical councils, but this one was the first, when 318 bishops from all over the Roman Empire, came together in the city of Nicaea and formulated the symbol of faith. It's also called the creed. The symbol of faith, the creed, which we recite at every divine liturgy, is a simple, straightforward statement of faith. And this symbol of faith keeps the church, the house of God, anchored in the apostolic faith. It keeps the church, the people of God, anchored in right belief. The creed sets the boundaries of right belief for the house of God. Because when we believe wrongly, then we begin to pray wrongly. And when we begin to pray wrongly, we then violate the first commandment of Almighty God, and the second, and the third. These 318 bishops heeded the apostolic teaching imparted by St. Paul that we heard in today's epistle. Quote, "Be careful about yourselves and the whole flock over which the Holy Spirit has placed you as bishops. To her, the church of God, which he has redeemed through his own blood. End of quote. Today's epistles, I mean, every epistle is powerful, but today's is worth a meditation in itself. We don't have that time. Perhaps take it again today, tomorrow. Read that epistle today. Read that passage today. Know what the Apostle Paul is teaching. There is these men, they were ordained to be bishops. And the bishop has a great responsibility. His responsibility is to preserve and to guard faithfully the apostolic preaching. That is the first task of the bishop, to preserve faithfully that which the apostles have given to us. Reading carefully the words of the Apostle Paul, the herd of the church of God, that's the baptized faithful, that's you and me. We don't belong to the bishop. We're not his possession. No. We belong to Christ. Because it was his blood that redeemed us and bought us and made us his own. So we don't belong to the bishops. The bishops don't own us. They don't own the faith. They're the guardians and they're the preservers of the apostolic faith. The bishop, the Greek word, it captures the mission, the duty, the responsibility of the bishop very well. He's called an overseer. The Greek word is episkopos. In Latin, it's episcopus. The word means overseer. A shepherd, for example, is an episkopos. Over the sheep. He shepherds them. He leads, he protects them. They're not his. He has to guard them. So with regard to the faith, the episkopos, the bishop, as we see it defined, explained by St. Paul himself, who's an apostle, is to keep the household of God faithful to what the apostles gave us, imparted to us. What's really at stake here? Is it just keeping some words and doctrines and teachings? No, what are they really protecting? When the apostolic faith is being preserved and protected and guarded to keep it its full integrity, it's protecting the words of eternal life. In today's gospel passage, Jesus the Christ prayed. And it's, again, this is something to read, to go back and read chapters 14, 15, 16, 17 of John. It's so rich. What did Christ pray today? Quote, I have manifested, he's speaking to the Father. I have manifested your name to the men you, Father, have given to me. Out of this world, they were chosen. They were yours, Father, and you have given them to me. And these men that you've given to me, they have kept your word. End of quote. They kept the word. Our Lord Jesus the Christ never wrote one word down. Everything that we know that what the Lord taught and instructed comes from the word of the apostles who were given the task by the Father in heaven, in the Son, to keep this word and to pass on this word. The apostles knew that this was not their teaching. This was the teaching of God Almighty. This is the teaching of life itself. And so our Lord Jesus the Christ then said these words. What, by keeping these words, you have eternal life. And so what did our Lord say? Quote, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the Father, the only true God, commandment number one, and the one you have sent, Jesus the Christ. End of quote. That is eternal life. And this is what the mission of the apostles was when the Holy Spirit came upon them and sent them out into the world to preach this word. To distort or to twist in some way what the apostles have passed on, or the word is traditioned to us, to God's household, was to threaten the eternal life itself, was to threaten the household of God's salvation. That's what's at stake. And so St. Paul warns in today's epistle, quote, fierce wolves who will not spare the flock. They will come speaking perverse doctrine. End of quote. Who are these fierce wolves? They're the heretics. They're the schismatics. Because they take what the apostles have given to us and they twist it. They distort it. They make it ugly. They separate us from God. Their teachings separate us from the life of God. They separate one. They put one outside of God's household. The very word perversion, perverse, is to twist, means to twist or to distort. A very grave perversion arose within the Roman Empire after Christianity was legalized in AD 318. The life-threatening heresy was called Arianism, named after a priest, Arius. He taught the doctrine, the harmful, pernicious doctrine, a noxious doctrine, that Jesus the Christ is not God. Our whole faith rests on this truth, that Jesus the Christ is God, and Arius attacked it. God's household was at stake. Its survival was threatened. The apostolic faith was being threatened. Eternal life was being threatened. So in the year AD 325, under the authority of the Emperor Constantine, 318 bishops gathered and made a straightforward, simple, and yet most sublime and beautiful synopsis of the one holy Catholic Orthodox faith. We call it the symbol of faith. We call it the creed. The bishops at the first ecumenical council, they were fulfilling their duty, their apostolic duty given to them by Paul and Peter and James and John and all of them to be what? Overseers of God's household. It's the responsibility of the bishops to establish the boundaries of right belief and thereby preserve eternal life. They don't make the faith. They defend and define what's been given to us by the apostles. That council, that first ecumenical council, and the six more that would follow it, keep God's household anchored in right belief. That's what the word orthodoxy means. Right belief, right teaching. And when we have right belief, we rightly worship. And when we rightly worship, we have eternal life. As members of the household of God, then, may we heed the divine instruction in the book of Proverbs, quote, do not move the ancient boundaries which your fathers have set, end of quote. At the end of therefore, at every divine liturgy, the household of God stands and says, with these fathers, pisteu, I believe. My brothers and sisters, today, as you stand to say the creed, say it with meaning, with heart, with conviction and with zeal. For this is the faith that brings you and me to be participants in the very life of God. Christ is among us.